engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, what more shall I say? I have not time to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and all the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, did what was righteous, obtained the promises. They closed the mouths of lions, put out raging fires, escaped the devouring sword. Out of weakness they were made powerful, became strong in battle, and turned back foreign invaders. Women received back their dead through resurrection. Some were tortured and would not accept deliverance in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others endured mockery, scourging, even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, sawed in two, put to death at sword's point. They went about in skins of sheep or goats, needy, afflicted, tormented. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered about in deserts and on mountains, in caves and in crevices in the earth. Yet all these, though approved because of their faith, did not receive what had been promised. God had foreseen something better for us, so that without us they should not be made perfect. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let your hearts take comfort, all who hope in the Lord. Let your hearts take comfort, all who hope in the Lord. How great is the goodness, O Lord, which you have in store for those who fear you, and which toward those who take refuge in you, you show in the sight of the children of men. Let your hearts take comfort, all who hope in the Lord. You hide them in the shelter of your presence from the plottings of men. You screen them within your abode from the strife of tongues. Let your hearts take comfort, all who hope in the Lord. Blessed be the Lord, whose wondrous mercy he has shown me in a fortified city. Let your hearts take comfort, all who hope in the Lord. Once I said in my anguish, I am cut off from your sight. Yet you heard the sound of my pleading when I cried out to you. Let your hearts take comfort, all who hope in the Lord. Love the Lord, all you his faithful ones. The Lord keeps those who are constant, but more than requites those who act proudly. Let your hearts take comfort, all who hope in the Lord. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus and his disciples came to the other side of the sea, to the territory of the Gerasenes. When he got out of the boat, at once a man from the tombs who had an unclean spirit met him. The man had been dwelling among the tombs, and no one could restrain him any longer, even with a chain. In fact, he had frequently been bound with shackles and chains, but the chains had been pulled apart by him and the shackles smashed, and no one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the hillsides, he was always crying out and bruising himself with stones. Catching sight of Jesus from a distance, he ran up and prostrated himself before him, crying out in a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." He had been saying to him, "Unclean spirit, come out of the man." He asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "Legion is my name. There are many of us." And he pleaded earnestly with him not to drive them away from that territory. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there on the hillside, and they pleaded with him, "Send us into the swine. Let us enter them." And he let them. And the unclean spirits came out and entered the swine. The herd of about 2,000 rushed down a steep bank into the sea, where they were drowned. The swineherds ran away and reported the incident in the town and throughout the countryside. And people came out to see what had happened. As they approached Jesus, they caught sight of the man who had been possessed by legion, sitting there clothed and in his right mind. And they were seized with fear. Those who witnessed the incident explained to them what had happened to the possessed man and to the swine. Then they began to beg him to leave their district. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed pleaded to remain with him. But Jesus would not permit him, but told him instead, "Go home to your family and announce to them all that the Lord in his pity has done for you." Then the man went off and began to proclaim in the Decapolis what Jesus had done for him. And all were amazed. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The healing of a man severely afflicted and his testimony to others. This intersects with our pro-life movement and with one aspect of it that I want to emphasize with you today. We heal. Jesus heals, and he uses us to heal those in the grip of the devil. The devil is the father of lies, and he is a murderer. Jesus describes him in those two ways in the same breath, in John chapter 8, for example. And in the first letter of John, we read that the mission of the Son of God is to destroy the works of the devil. Well, if the devil is a liar, what destroys that is truth. Jesus is truth. If the devil is a murderer, what destroys that is life. Jesus is life. The Son of God, St. John tells us, came into the world to destroy the works of the devil. The Son of God came into the world to defeat lies and murder. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way to the Father because I am the truth that destroys the devil's lies and the life that undoes his murderous acts." And indeed, abortion is a form of murder. And we see it cloaked in lies as well. People saying that it is a good. People calling it health care. People saying it's a constitutional right. People saying it's freedom of choice. It is nothing other than violent murder. And brothers and sisters, when we see this, we are seeing the truth, and we're proclaiming it, and we're setting free those who fell for the lie of Planned Parenthood, for the lie of the Democrat Party that try to promote and present abortion as something good. And then there are the lies of those even within the churches who present it as, well, not so much of an evil as it really is. They try to water it down, to dilute it. They try to tell us not to be so obsessed by it. Little do they know how devastating it really is. You want to know how devastating it really is? Talk to the moms who have had abortions. Now, we're not saying that they are possessed by the devil, although at certain points we have had to minister to people who were experiencing various forms of oppression from evil spirits. But that's not the norm. However, they'll readily admit to you, those that have had abortions and have repented of it, that they fell for a lie. And as Jesus said, that's the devil's work. They fell for a lie. They fell for a big deception. Many, many deceptions. Like this man in the gospel said, "My name is Legion. There are many of us." There are many lies that allow abortion to continue. It's not a baby. Oh, it's not such a big deal. It'll be good for the mother. It's my right. There's many different lies and many different forms of damage that occur. The destruction of one's self-esteem. The physical problems that abortion brings, hemorrhage and infection and uterine perforation and infertility and scarring and problems with later pregnancies and weakness of the cervix leading to preterm birth and all other kinds of problems. That's just on a physical level, on a psychological level, the risk-taking behavior, suicide thoughts and actions, all kinds of inability to have normal relations with people, including sexual relations, inability to trust, to make decisions, to believe in God, trouble, difficulty bonding with later children, leading to an increase in substance abuse, breakdown of marriage relationships, an increase of divorce, an increase in poverty. There are countless, they are legion, countless negative impacts of abortion, and not just on the mom, but on the dad, on the grandparents, on the siblings, on the other family members, on the friends who assist, on the abortionists and their staff. We work with ex-abortionists to heal them. We are legion. There are many of us. The lies, the deceptions, and the wounds that accompany abortion. We who reject abortion do not reject those who have abortions. We welcome them back with the mercy and forgiveness and peace of Christ. The letter to the Hebrews talks to us about the people who have faith, and this pro-life movement is inspired by faith. We have faith in a God who destroys the lies of the devil, who sets us free from evil spirits. We have faith in a God who can counteract and quell this violence of abortion. We have faith in a God who took on a human nature for himself, and one drop of whose blood cleanses the whole world of sin. We take refuge in that blood, and we bring those that have participated in abortion to that blood, to that cross, to that Christ. And by that same power of God, we proclaim to the rest of the world that nobody has the authority to kill a baby, that we must protect this sacred gift. And one would think that we could all unite around that. One would think. But unfortunately, there's too much deception out there, and people don't unite around that, and they want to kill the messenger. They want to oppose those of us who shine a light into the dark places of Planned Parenthood, into the dark places of the Democrat Party. You see, we say that, and all of a sudden people try to shut us down and shut us up. You are not going to shut us up. I'm talking to those out there that take refuge not in the light, but in the darkness, not in the blood of Christ, but in the blood of the babies. You are not going to silence us. You are not going to intimidate us. You are not going to shut us up or slow us down. We are the people of Christ. We are the light of the world. That light is not going to be put under a bushel basket. And it's not going to be hidden or dimmed or redirected to please you. And I'm also talking to those within the church who try to shut us down or shut us up. It is not going to work. We have here the example in this letter to the Hebrews. Chapter 11 is a marvelous, marvelous chapter of Scripture where you see, and you heard it in the first reading, all these examples of people who endured every possible form of alienation, of rejection, of suffering. And what is being said here by the author of the Hebrews, what's being said is they didn't even receive the promises in their lifetime. They did not see the kingdom of God come in its glory with Jesus standing before them, risen from the dead, or with Jesus saying, "All authority has been given to me both in heaven and on earth," or eating and drinking with his disciples after he rose from the dead. They didn't see the fulfillment, the prophet who is to come into the world, raising the dead and making the blind see and the lame leap for joy. Although there were some miracles, as this says, and some did receive their children back through resurrection, but all of that was a foreshadowing of a Christ that they were waiting for, But they didn't have the privilege of seeing him. But what this letter is saying is faith is the confident assurance of things we don't see. They knew it was coming. They knew this Savior was coming who would cast legion into the swine and let that man be back in his right mind and fully clothed. They knew he was coming. And by that faith, they share in advance in the justification God gives us all. Faith. We hold on even when everything seems to be going in the opposite direction. We in the pro-life movement are used to that. We're very used to that. We see these powerful, powerful forces, Planned Parenthood. We see these Democrat politicians wanting to ram abortion down our throats and make us pay for it. We see it. We've dealt with it before. We'll deal with it again. We see people saying, oh, well, this can't be done. You can't stop abortion. You can't turn around. Oh, yes, we can, and yes, we will. This is the kind of faith that, well, otherwise, what are these readings talking about? Is this just wishful thinking? Or did these people really go about needy, afflicted, tormented, and yet they obtained the promises? They closed the mouths of lions, put out raging fires, escaped the devouring sword. Out of weakness they were made powerful, became strong in battle. You see what the letter to the Hebrews says about those who throughout the Old Testament, and now we can say throughout Christian history as well, the apostles, the saints, the martyrs, the confessors, the missionaries, is talking about the same power that you and I have. You can apply this passage to the activists in the pro-life movement. We confront the culture of death, and we don't cower and tremble and say, oh, we're not sure if we're going to be able to conquer this. No, we stand confidently in the kind of faith that these people had, and we stand before the culture of death and Planned Parenthood and the Democrat Party and all these other forces. And we say, your kingdom of death has already been defeated in Jesus Christ. He's risen. He casts out evil. He holds the keys of death and of hell. And he works through us. He speaks through us. He witnesses to the light through us. It doesn't matter how dark it gets. We win. Christ wins. And again, let me bring it back to that theme of mercy. He wins in the hearts of every mother and father, grandparent and sibling who suffer from a past abortion. We minister to them. We invite them. Some of you are listening now. We want to invite you. Take hold in faith of the mercy of this Jesus who casts out evil and brings us peace. Take hold of that mercy today. It's there for you. Take hold of it more deeply than you ever have before. And if you know people who are suffering from a past abortion, and again, we're not just talking about the moms. Dads suffer. Grandparents suffer. Siblings suffer the loss of their siblings from abortion. Friends suffer the fact that their friend's baby died and they had a part in that. Or perhaps they're regretting the fact that they didn't work harder to save that baby. Take hold in faith of the mercy that God gives. We give that mercy through our Rachel's Vineyard program, the world's largest ministry for healing after abortion. I'm privileged to be pastoral director of that ministry throughout the world. And our team members on our Priests for Life team, Dr. Teresa Burke and Kevin Burke, founded Rachel's Vineyard. And it does this tremendous work throughout the world. I'll be having a meeting a little bit later today with some of our Rachel's Vineyard team. What a joy it is to be able to welcome back those who suffer in this way, those who were enslaved to the deceit and the lies, but who now know that they have a Savior who's lifting them up. And then when they get lifted up, some of them feel called, and we help them discern that call and then carry it out to share their testimony with others. Just like that man did who was healed from legion. What did Jesus say to him? He said, go tell your family all that the Lord in his mercy has done for you. Go tell them, announce it. And he went around and he began to proclaim it in the Decapolis. That means the 10 cities. It was a region. He proclaimed what Jesus had done for him and all were amazed. This is our Silent No More campaign, a project of Priests for Life and Anglicans for Life. I serve as the pastoral director worldwide. And we give those that have had abortions, and again, moms, dads, grandparents, siblings, friends, former abortionists, we give these people an opportunity to tell their stories, an opportunity to do exactly what that gospel says. Go tell others what the Lord in his mercy has done for you. Why? Because we want them to take hold of the same Lord and the same mercy. John Paul II wrote about this in the Gospel of Life. He said, to you who have had abortions, after you take hold of the mercy of God, understand that you can be among the most eloquent witnesses of life, spokespersons for everyone's right to life, because you've been through, like those people in the letter of the Hebrews, you've been through the darkness and the trials. And you've come out the other side and you can speak now. Give courage to those who are still suffering. And in that spirit, I want to invite you, friends, go and read these testimonies and watch them. You can go to abortiontestimonies.com, abortiontestimonies.com. I want to read part of just one of the thousands of testimonies you'll find there and understand the deep pain that happens to those that go through this. One of the women of Silent No More writes, I wish someone had told me. And as we listen to this in conclusion here, let's offer our heartfelt prayers for so many people just like this who are suffering just like this. I wish someone had told me, she writes, that the abortion clinic staff would humiliate me minute by minute, hour upon hour, that Planned Parenthood and family planning both wouldn't know the first thing about caring for their clients, that the girl ahead of me in line would laugh the whole time, claiming her fifth abortion, and that it was easy and not to worry, that I truly could have gotten off the table when I realized I was making a horrific mistake, that I could have changed my mind until the very last minute, no matter what the doctors or nurses said. I wish someone had told me this, that the procedure was not like the removal of a tooth. I don't regret my trips to the dentist. That a part of my maternity would die on that table right along with my child. That I would feel more appalled with myself after the procedure as I walked out the back door of the clinic. That people didn't talk about these kinds of things. After it was over, I wouldn't be able to talk about it either. I wish someone had told me that there would be so much physical and emotional pain involved, not just then, but 23 years later, that I would truly lose part of my dignity, my self-love and purpose in life, that one day I would truly regret this choice. I wish someone had told me that I would blame myself for the child lost when I drove my friend for her abortion. That I would eventually change my major in college to pay God back for my mistake. That the grief, guilt, and shame would take over my life emotionally. That I would wake up crying in the middle of the night for years. That on each anniversary date, I would feel numb and unable to move. That I would consider suicide twice due to the emotional pain of my choice. I wish someone had told me all this. Jesus, you gave strength and faith to those throughout the ages who have fought for what is right and what is true and who have looked in joyful hope for the Savior who would lift us all up from sin. You saved the man from legion. You set us free from the oppressed, from the evil. Lord, set us free again today and make us all instruments of your grace, heralds of your mercy, proclaimers of your gospel of life. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.